Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about IVF, infertility, and the trials of trying for a baby. I am Emma.
And I'm Gabby. And we've both been trying for a baby for a really long time, and neither of us is currently pregnant.
Welcome to episode 6.
Is it 6?
We're on 6.
6, wow.
Yeah, I know. Lucky number 6.
Yeah.
Is that a lucky number?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Somewhere in the world it's a lucky number.
We're recording this a bit earlier than usual.
We are.
Because Gabby is going on holiday.
Oh yeah. On my lilo in the pool.
Where are you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm currently, which is weird, for you listening to this in the future, currently in Greece. So
whereabouts?
We're doing halfy half, so we're doing half Athens.
Athens is so great.
I know, I've heard it's really cool, so yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So Athens at the beginning and Athens at the end, and in the middle an island called Spetses, which Ooh. Is off the coast. Well, it's, you can get there, it's 2 hours from Athens.
Sweet.
And yeah, so we're gonna be there chilling out. I'm going to go to Hydra for a day trip and pretend I'm Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Mate, I am so deeply envious.
Yeah. Well, you went to Greece at the beginning of the summer.
Yeah, I did. And it feels like a million years ago.
Yeah. I did book mine first, though, I have to say. I didn't copy Emma.
You probably got a far better deal.
I think we probably did, yeah.
And you probably aren't going to miss your flight and then have to emergency book another
touch
one.
Touch wood. But yeah, it's a nice little September treat, I think, bookend my summer.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I hope I'm having a great time as we speak.
Yeah, so do I. I hope you're eating lots of halloumi.
Feta. Just all of the cheese, really.
Yeah, and lots of delicious salads and nice tomatoes.
Not drinking ouzo.
You probably will, though, won't you?
No, I hope not.
Okay, so this week we have Alice Rose, who is a hashtag TTC influencer.
She is. She's a campaigner. She's a blogger.
And she's a ray of light.
She is. Oh, I just love her.
Yeah.
She's just so sunny in our stories every day.
And just somebody who is quite inspiring because she's just such a positive force.
Yes. I think we can be a bit negative sometimes, can't we?
Yeah. Sometimes.
It's hard not to be. And there she is with her lovely smile, and she's always positive. And yeah, I think that's a really good thing to have.
Yeah.
If not in your life, then at least in your feed.
Yeah. And so we recorded this in mid-August, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just had a lovely chat, didn't we?
Yeah. She came in. She had a revelation about something that she's doing in the future, which mm-hmm. you'll hear about in a minute, which is quite exciting.
Yeah. And she's launching a campaign
around it. Yes. And actually, Emma, you'd had a particularly bad day.
I'd had a terrible day the day she came in.
Yeah, I remember you said to me that you weren't sure if you wanted to record the whole thing in front of her because you were scared that you were going to cry.
Yeah.
And you didn't, though. You firmed it.
I powered through.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
We started laughing and we had a nice time, and I think, yeah.
Yeah.
It helped.
Absolutely.
Suffering.
It was a lovely end to a shit day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Alice, for that.
And you've been speaking to Professor Tim?
I have, as always. I called up the lovely Professor Tim Child, Medical Director at Oxford Fertility, and spoke to him about wearing socks during the two-week wait.
Now, this is a really interesting old wives' tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk a bit more about that later. And then also, I think we probably need to take a minute for Olive the cat.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We talked about her in the last episode.
We did.
Sophie's cat. She'd been having a bad week. I'm very sad to report Olive is no more.
She's passed on to a better place.
The big litter box in the sky.
She is. In the... She's eating fresh sardines every day and chasing squirrels. That's dogs.
I don't know. Nora likes a squirrel.
Okay.
Well, Nora's got a thing with a squirrel in our garden.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not a sexy thing?
Not a sexy thing. A real, like, arch nemesis scenario.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Olive's doing that and she's winning.
She's winning against a squirrel. So everybody please take a minute for Olive today.
Yep. Olive's cat.
We'll end on a happier note. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Big Fat Negative.
Uh-huh. On Facebook.
Just Big Fat Negative,
Big Fat Negative.
Yeah.
And give us an email at bigfatnegativepodcast@gmail.com.
Uh-huh. And please subscribe to the podcast on, well, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, anywhere.
If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review it because it helps other people to find the podcast.
And it's interesting for us to see.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll try not to accidentally set it to go out early this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you had the last episode a bit early, which means it's been a longer wait for the next one.
Yeah, it has been a long wait. So sorry about that, guys. I'll try and get it right next time.
I must do better.
I know. enjoy the episode.
Yeah. Speak to you soon, guys. I'll be back from Greece very shortly.
With a tan, I bet.
See you. Anyone who listened to last week's episode will know that I had a bit of news that meant we had a bit of a turnaround. So instead of the IVF that I was expecting to be starting off with, we're going back to au naturel for a while.
Lucky Mr. Gabby.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to be trying for another 3 to 6 months and then see how we get on. Before potentially doing IVF, but so yeah, it's been going well actually. Yeah, but I'm don't worry, I'm not going to I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. But it's quite funny. I went to the dentist last week and I was in the chair and the dentist was like, "Oh, can we do some X-rays? Is there any reason why we might not be able to do any X-rays?" And I was like, "Well, I mean, I have ovulated today, or at least I'm predicted to ovulate today."
So,
which means I might be 3 hours pregnant. Maybe we shouldn't do this. So I piped off and I was like, well, I am trying for a baby, so I don't know. What do you think? And she kind of gave me a knowing look and was like, oh, no, we won't do it then. We won't do it today. And it just, the whole thing just got me. I mean, I was laughing at myself afterwards.
Yeah, but these, you can't be too careful these days.
You can't. The sperm might have met the egg. I could have been 3 hours pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I looked it up afterwards and it turns out that if that does happen, it's probably fine. So, you know, it was going to be okay. But I did pipe up anyway. And it made me start thinking about the kind of cycle of trying for a baby, and not like the biological cycle, more the emotional cycle that you go through. Because I'd obviously forgotten all of my past upsets and had gone straight to hope. I was in the hope zone.
Oh God, not the hope zone. That's the worst.
Well, it's actually the best. Actually, the hope zone is great.
It's a bit like being on drugs, isn't it? The hope
zone. Yeah, exactly.
It's like a real high.
It hits when your fertile window starts and you start having a go and you're like, oh, I could be pregnant. That could have been the one. That might have worked. And then I think that kind of lasts for, almost 2 weeks until you get a little twinge. Or you get BFN, or your period starts, and then you're in like the disappointed zone, which is awful.
Horrendous.
the disappointment zone is the worst.
That's the worst.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, right? The hope zone is the best. That's where you want to be.
It's the best.
That's the crying in the toilets at work zone.
Yeah, the disappointment one. Yeah. Definitely. And then I think it's replaced by the determined zone, which is like, it's characterised largely by planning and by ordering things on Amazon.
Diaries. And calendars.
Like, crotchless panties.
Sperm-friendly lube.
All of the above.
Oh my God.
You start thinking, okay, when's my next fertile window? Right, okay, we're scheduled in. Hopefully. I can't do that with my poor husband. He's like, no, don't tell me when we need to do this.
When we were trying, naturally, back in the day.
good old days.
My husband, who works in film, was working on, I want to say, The Crown in somewhere in Oxford, somewhere a really long way away from where we live in London.
Wow.
And his entire crew was staying overnight there for a week. And I made him drive back every night from, like, Oxford.
Oh. That's determined. Well, yeah.
That's the determination zone.
Mingled.
I was like, I'm really sorry, babes. And so he'd have to... He drove back at, like, midnight and then had to be up at, like, 5 a.m.
And had to be up for it.
Literally up for it. And he is working with the same crew at the moment. And they're all like, "You pregnant yet?" And he's like, "No.
Oh, no. I've got to go back again." Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, it's just funny, isn't it? It's a roller coaster, as they say. Yeah. But also, what have I been doing? Oh, yeah, I've been grappling with ovulation tests.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Yeah. And I haven't had a positive one yet. But I didn't start testing until a day after I was scheduled on my app to ovulate. I mean, who knows?
What's the acronym for, what is it, like, first morning urine or something? Like, FMU.
Oh, FMU.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I'm not good with the acronyms. I get very confused.
I had to Google it not very long ago.
FMU.
Someone's like, "I didn't use FMU." And I was like... FM.
Hashtag FML. FMU. Well, I mean, I just haven't been doing them very well, apparently. Or I just missed it. But either way, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep trying.
Keep trying, pal. Yeah. Keep on trucking.
Yeah, keep on trucking. Anyway, so largely not a bad time recently, I have to say.
Lucky you.
Yeah. So enough about me, Emma. How have you been?
Not so great this week. I was worried I wasn't going to have anything to talk about today. So I was like, well, I went for a run for the first time in like a million years because it's been so hot. And then I had a little bleed last night.
Right.
And was like, okay, I'm just going to put it out of my mind. Like, well, it wasn't very much. It's fine. I'm on Mucerolin, I'm on Proganova, which is like a estrogen, kind of synthetic estrogen. Mm. Could be either of those. Proganova, I Googled, obviously went to Dr. Google. Dr. Google said sometimes people bleed on Proganova. So was really chilled. And then this morning at work, I went to the loo, more blood, and was like, oh God. Mm. So...
And you've got a transfer soon.
I'm supposed to be having a transfer in the next couple of weeks. So I phoned my clinic, and usually I'm on hold for like half an hour minimum before I can get through. But this time it just like went straight through after about five tries.
Breezy.
And the nurse answered, and she was like, "Okay, that's not right. Can you come in for a scan now?" And I'm literally really close to my clinic, so I kind of flounced out of the office in a really dramatic fashion and was like, "I need to go for an emergency appointment at the hospital." Everyone's like, "Oh God, are you okay?" I was like, "I don't know."
dun, dun, dun.
Some people know what's happening, some people don't know what's happening,
right? So they just had no idea what's going on.
So the people that don't know what's going on must just be so confused, because I'm literally at that clinic so often or on the phone to them, or like, and I have to like get up really fast and like anyway, so I went to the clinic, they called me straight in, like, I felt like really special case.
Also a bit scared.
Yeah, like you'd absolutely pissing myself.
Yeah.
Had a cry to my mom while I was walking to the clinic. Yeah, yeah. And she found a cyst on my ovary.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't have polycystic ovaries. And she found an endometrioma. I don't have endometriosis. What the hell is going on? So she said that the cyst was likely caused by something called breakthrough ovulation when I was on the pill last month.
Oh.
So basically the month before I tried for a natural cycle and I didn't ovulate. Then that I went on the pill and did ovulate. Mm. I don't know what's going on. So they took some hormone. They took my bloods. Did my blood work, and then I got a phone call this afternoon saying they're not worried. So what happens is sometimes after ovulation, as far as I understood it from the nurse, the kind of empty area where your egg was will fill up and turn into a cyst, and it will either fill up with fluid, pus, or blood. And she thinks mine is a blood-filled cyst. That's gross. And they can release hormones. And when they break down, that kind of triggers a period.
Right.
Which obviously we don't want.
Mm. No.
After a frozen or before a frozen embryo transfer.
Right.
So they did my bloods and I got a phone call this afternoon saying they're not that worried.
Okay, that's good.
About it. But they're going to make me start taking, like doing patches.
What kind of patches are those?
I don't know.
Right.
But someone was talking about hormone replacement therapy patches, and I bet they're those. I bet it's the same.
Oh. What kind of... Because
it's HRT.
I have no knowledge about patches.
The estrogen that I'm taking is...
Yeah, because I've heard on the American podcast that I listen to, Dory regularly has estrogen patches.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I've got no idea. So what is happening now is they're going to scan me in a week's time. And hopefully, because my lining was 6.5 millimetres, which is quite good. Like it's getting there. It's on its way. So
It should be at this stage, right?
Yeah, you'd hope so.
As in, it shouldn't be more than that at this stage.
No. I guess some people are just like have the best lining in the whole world.
Just eat loads of steak all the time.
Yeah, I know,
lining coming out their ears.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hopefully not.
That would be uncomfortable.
Strange image.
Sorry, everybody.
So they'll scan me next week and then potentially embryo transfer the week after that if this embryo transfer ever happens. So cool.
Well, that's weird because I don't really know enough about cysts, but I know that I have one.
Oh, do you?
So when they did my vaginal ultrasound, my favourite phrase, they saw that I had a cyst on one of my ovaries and they were very relaxed about it.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, I guess, the difference between the ones that they are worried about and ones that they are not worried about.
I don't know. Mm. We should get a doctor on this.
Crazy idea. Anybody knows, feel free to email in.
We none of us know. I don't know. Very lacking in knowledge, I'm afraid, even though I am polycystic, apparently. But I don't... some people think I am, some people think I'm not. Yeah, the jury's out.
You're mysterious.
Yeah, I'm so mysterious.
We're all mysterious, aren't we, really, in our own ways? This would be a medical mystery. Yeah. Such joy.
There's just... None of us know enough, really, do we?
No.
That is a problem.
Does the medical community know?
No, they actually don't.
No, they really don't. Not that I don't appreciate the doctors and nurses who helped me today. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Journey.
Because we talk about everyone's journey here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all about the journey.
Sure. Shall I just tell you my whole
thing? Yeah, just tell us your whole story.
Because, I mean, it's quite long. I'll try and get it in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, a big nut, like a walnut.
Like a... Okay.
Yeah.
Are they big? I don't know.
Brazil nuts are pretty big.
Yeah.
They are.
And good for fertility.
Great.
So
that's perfect.
That's your nut.
Selenium. Yeah. Good for selenium, apparently. Okay, let me just wind the clock back. So
can you set the scene?
I'll set the scene. The scene is probably several years ago now, when we decided to start trying.
Yay! Such a hopeful time.
Oh, that's very, very hopeful. But I was actually immediately in the realistic zone.
Oh,
in which I decided, new one. I decided in the first month that if I was just really super organised, then I probably would just be fine and I would just get all my infertility ducks in a row, because I just suspected that I would have problems. I always thought that I would, because my cycles had always been crazy.
Okay, yeah.
So as soon as we decided to start trying, I thought, it's fine. I'll just be super, I'm just going to organise my way through it. So I went straight to the doctor. I said, I think I might have problems having a baby and I really want one now, so can we sort that out?
Yeah.
And she sent me for a scan, and I went for a scan, and then at that very first scan they thought that I was pregnant. So that was an immediate roller coaster experience. She had to get someone else in to have a good old look. She didn't really know what it was either.
I love that when your legs are in stirrups and everyone's having a good old look.
It was really not a good experience. And actually, funnily enough, I complained about that experience and I did change hospitals, which is another thing entirely to talk about. Anyway, going back to the Brazil nut. So in a nutshell, I was not pregnant. I had to wait and find out. But anyway, it turned out to be a fibroid.
Right.
So then I had another appointment, and then they asked me what I wanted to do about it. And I was like, I don't know.
Can you tell me?
Like, is this going to be a problem? And the gynae, because it wasn't a fertility clinic at that point, just said, well, it might be, so we can take it out if you want. So I was like, okay, well, I think I'm going to have problems anyway, so let's get rid of that. So I had that out. Then the gynae put me on Clomid.
The Clomid stage.
The Clomid stage. So Clomid, for me, worked beautifully that first cycle,
right?
And I had a 28-day cycle for the first time in my life, which I thought was a miracle, but I didn't get pregnant. And then the second time I had it, nothing happened at all. Which was very confusing for her and for me, and no one really knew what to do with me. And at that point she said, oh, I think you're going to need IVF, at which point I was completely horrified, because I just thought, that seems a bit dramatic. Are we going straight? Like, and at that point, to me, it all sounded horrific. And the idea of harvesting eggs and all, so I just thought
very farmyard words.
The
language was just horrendous. Yeah. And I just thought the whole concept of it was horrendous. And all I had heard was how horrendous it was going to be. So I was really scared and I cried a lot. And it was really horrible. And then anyway, long story short, I decided to get a second opinion because I wasn't sure if it sounded a bit dramatic to go straight into IVF. So I went to see a private specialist who was recommended, and someone along the line, can't remember who, raved about this doctor. So I went to see her. And she was actually really lovely and gave me all of these spreadsheets and talked about ovulation tests and talked to me about nutrition and explained about insulin resistance, which I'd never heard of before, and PCOS, which, again, the jury is out. Do I have it? Do I not? Who knows? But I was not ovulating regularly.
Yes.
That's for sure. So during that time, she then prescribed more Clomid for me, and I had various responses, but never, I didn't get pregnant still. In the end, I had 6 cycles of Clomid, which didn't work.
But that's a lot.
It's quite a lot.
And does that go, so that's a month, you say 6 cycles, that's a month?
Well, because I didn't really ovulate sometimes, my cycles were crazy. So they really, I just had, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. So it wasn't really 6 months. It was actually quite a lot longer. I can't remember now exactly how long.
So how do you administer Clomid? I don't really know anything about it.
It's an oral drug.
Okay.
So you just pop a pill. I actually, God, I can't even remember. I think you have like five of them and you take them. This is, yeah, I can't remember. But I think I think you take them at the beginning of your cycle.
As I recall. Yeah. I did about 18 months ago, two years ago.
Yeah. I can't remember.
It takes quite an emotional toll, Clomid.
Well, I think it's because you think, oh, it's fine, I'm having treatment now, so this is going to fix my problem. And then every time it doesn't work, it was so confusing to me that I sometimes responded and sometimes didn't. And I, you know, that was awful. All kinds of strange things. But during that time, I then went to my doctor again and I said, can I get the referral for the fertility clinic? Because this was still very weird routes into treatment. And she referred me. And then my sort of transformational journey kind of began.
Here you go.
So, yeah. So I, my appointments kept getting cancelled. At the fertility clinics, no reasoning was given. I just, it happened about five times, and every time I was about to get my appointment and I'd sort of count down to this appointment, I'd get a letter through the post saying, it's been cancelled.
It's the worst.
This is your new appointment, which was like 2 months, you know, further. Which at the time was like hell. Like it was, you know, to me that was such a long time, and I was... You know, I remember it so well, that feeling of being so in it and every day, and, you know, so that was really difficult. But during that time, I started doing a lot of work on myself and a lot of self-development and a lot of things which I felt like I just needed something to kind of cling to, and that wasn't anything to do with this, and it was to do with me, and it was going to be a way of getting through a time which was the hardest thing that I had ever experienced, and I didn't feel like I really had anyone who got it. And so I started to do a course which is called An Artist Way, The Artist Way, which
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Basically changed my life, which sounds really dramatic. But it changed something in me, and at the same time I think what it was that I sort of stumbled upon this kind of really effective way to be during this thing, because at the same time as doing the kind of mind soul expansion work, which sounds again quite dramatic, but that's what it was, I was also eating really well, and I was really interested. I started to learn about nutrition, and I started to learn about how to nourish myself, you know, all of myself. So I actually ended up being happier than I ever had been, which was really totally weird to me. I just thought this was, I couldn't believe how well I was feeling given our circumstances at that time. So, and I should say that when I first started this whole journey, I started writing on my laptop. I just started writing because I've always written as a way of processing stuff. So that was just what I did. So then I ended up just documenting this whole thing, and I, ended up with a really massive document because it went on for quite a long time. And then to go back to the our journey with the with our actual process to conceive, we did finally get into that fertility clinic. And then I was referred for counselling, which again really changed my experience because I felt properly supported. Yeah. And that was really amazing. And that was all through the NHS as well. So that was amazing. And they did injectable ovulation induction with me. So okay. I did 4 rounds of that. And that didn't that work. So that is really, it's basically IUI without the insemination bit.
Okay.
So it's all of the scans, it's all of the injections, yeah. all of that stuff.
Right.
And yeah, I had various responses to that too. So, but it didn't work. So I had my kind of breakdown, absolute meltdown moment at around Christmas. And
always Christmas.
Christmas is Christmas. There's something. And I actually spoke to an acupuncturist about that. Anyway, it's quite interesting, this Christmas time. But yes, I had a complete, can't do that anymore, have to go and do something else. Went back to the fertility clinic and said, I need to go to IVF now, I can't do this anymore. And they said, well, you'll have to wait a year. And I was like, what now? And I thought that once you were in the clinic...
Why did you... What?
It was a separate clinic. So I hadn't understood that at all. And that was really...
They need to give you like a user manual at the start. Because even... You know when you're sitting in the waiting room and you've arrived at the same time as someone else and they go in and you're still there for like an hour afterwards and you're like, why am I waiting? And it's because you're going into a different clinic. You're going for a scan and they might be going for a consultation or they might be going to have their bloods done. But you don't know that at the beginning. Mm. You just sit there and you're like, do they like them more than me? Like, are they more important?
100%. I definitely know that feeling. Yeah. Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason, is there? Well, there is a rhyme or reason. Well, yeah. It's because it's a different clinic. So I had no idea that was the case.
If you'd known, you could have acted earlier.
Yeah, like, that's the annoying thing.
But you know what? You know, I do look back now and I really do think that it all weirdly was okay. And at that point, it was our decision to go privately because I just thought I can't wait anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and had a private consultation with someone I knew exactly who I wanted to go to, and then we went for IVF and it was successful. So that was my first fertility journey, and now I am on another one because so my daughter is 1.5. And
congratulations!
Thank you, amazing. Thank you.
A success story. Yeah,
sorry. I know you all hate me right now.
No, no. Okay.
I think you've come under hope.
Yes.
Well, you know what? When I started the Instagram, I did think, how is this going to go down? Because I am a mum now and I didn't know whether I would be welcome, to be honest. But what I've learned about this amazing community is that actually, I think once you've gone through it, it stays with you and it's a part of you forever. Yeah. And actually, I've learned an awful lot about secondary infertility now. So that's a whole other thing that's opened my eyes, you know. Not really my situation as it stands, because at the moment we're just trying naturally, and you know, we might go for a frozen embryo transfer at some point, but we're quite relaxed.
So do you have embryos?
We have embryos. We do. Yeah.
And how many rounds of IVF did you do?
We had one. Oh. One. Yeah.
Okay, now I
hate. Yeah. But you know, I spoke to somebody about this because it's really funny, isn't it? Because we say, yes, I was successful on my first round of IVF and I was so lucky.
Yeah, but you have rounds and rounds.
Yeah, but I had 10 stuff. Rounds of treatment before that. And to me, like going through that was
that's
was
the
kind
same
of
emotional
harder.
Toll, isn't it?
It was the same emotional journey. It was really the same emotional impact. And actually for me, the IVF felt less difficult at that point in my life because of what I had been through before. In my mind, and you know, anyway, just for me, that was my experience.
That was definitely going to be one of my questions, because as in how you continue to be part of the TTC community after you've had a child, and how, because it must be, it's been such a support network potentially for you leading up to that point, and to then, I mean, how, the emotions of how you must, you don't want to feel like you can't be part of it anymore. You know, I think you've had that experience. You are always, you've always got the war wounds, you know?
Absolutely. I think that it's something that unless you've been through it, you probably won't understand at a level which you really need to be able to be a part of that, that are part of that community. Mm. So, you know, I just think, and there's a lot of people that are in that community that do have children. So, and actually, there's still, everyone is sort of, it's very inclusive. It's a really inclusive thing to be part of.
But you are very much still part of the community, aren't you?
Well, it's quite new, I think, the community as it stands. So when we were going through it, I really wasn't a part of it because it didn't really exist.
Yeah.
And there were only those weird forums, which...
Oh, my God, no. The worst places on earth.
Never go there.
Which I went into a few times and was so confused and bewildered by the whole thing that I never engaged with them. So
I try to wean myself off, but sometimes still find myself Googling and in one of those threads.
Yeah, you go down the rabbit
warren. Oh, just snuffling for clues. It's like, come on, give me something.
Do you know what's really fun though? I use an app and it has an inbuilt forum on it.
Oh.
And it's mainly American. And you'll go on to like find out whether Bucerolin makes you bleed and end up looking at someone's rank engagement ring or like or like really disgusting gender reveal cake or something like that.
That's the absolute worst.
And I literally just laugh a lot every time. Like I'll start being really, really upset or like really worried, and then by the end I'm like turning to my husband going, mate, look at this. And he'll be like, it's 3 a.m. And I'll be like, I know, but the engagement ring is a pig made out of diamonds.
So they do serve a purpose.
Definitely.
But that's just me. Sometimes I just send it to my friend, like at 3 a.m. She's got a kid, so she'll be like up nursing and I'll be up like Googling IVF drugs. We'll have massive chats.
One thing that really stood out for me with you was you posted something about taking control, and that's really important. And like what you were saying about the NHS, that happened to me a lot. My little brother is autistic, which sounds tangential, but it's not, because my mum is really good at just ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing, being really persistent. So when I kept getting cancelled, I would just ring up and be like, have you got any cancellations, like every day until they gave you one. And that, like, you have to be pushy, right?
Mm. It's all part of taking ownership of what's happening to you. And when I talk about taking ownership, I really mean very holistically. And part of that is just really practical. And it's getting your paperwork all in order. And it's making sure you've got all your tests done. Because the amount of times, you know, I would go to an appointment and the nurse would ask me to explain to her my situation. And I was like, really? Do I really have to, you know, and I would find it really upsetting.
Yeah.
So actually, I think it's really useful to know that you might have to explain your scenario often, you know, and you don't think that that's going to be something that will trigger you, but I often found that it did.
Yeah. So taking, and then you cry and they're so awkward about that.
Oh God, yeah, the cry, it's just, but it's so annoying because they think that you're really kind of, you must be so stressed out, and actually you're feeling okay that day. Yeah. It's just that they have triggered something. Uh-huh. And so if you can kind of take ownership of your scenario by being quite on it and organised, and exactly, so if you haven't got the cancellation, and I actually got in touch with PALS, which is the patient and liaison services, I think it's called, with NHS, because I really needed some kind of other form of communication than the one that I had. So just in a practical sense, that was a really useful thing to know that I could do.
What did they do?
They liaised with the clinic on my behalf.
Okay.
So that I had some other form of communication with the hospital that wasn't me, you know, getting so stressed out on the phone and trying to get this bloody appointment, which they just kept. And, you know, no real understanding of why this kept happening, you know. So it is a really important part of it. And and it's the same with drugs and things when you're going through treatments. You know, be your own pharmacist, because you are actually the only person who's going to be on top of what you've got and where they are and how you administer them.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you know exactly how to administer them, because I've heard of, you know, a really good friend of mine, super intelligent lawyer type person, who just didn't quite note down exactly what she was supposed to do and went through her cycle of treatment, and it just was completely cocked up because she'd given herself the wrong drug or something.
Yeah.
So it's really imperative that you are actually really, you know, in that space. And the thing is, to be able to get into that space, you have to be in a calm place where you are feeling okay. And that's where it all comes back to working on yourself first and foremost. That's where it all comes from, so that you can make really empowered decisions and you feel like you can handle it when people say stuff to you which might trigger you, or when your appointment's cancelled, or when you run out of drugs, because you're already in that zone where you feel okay and you're, you know, you're in that okay zone.
You need to be prepared to be pushy, don't you? You need to kind of...
I think you do, and it's horrible to have to do that. Yeah. But at the same time, it's also okay if you know that it's going to just be part of it.
Yeah. There was one time I had to have a laparoscopy and hysteroscopy in March this year. It's 2018, just for people listening in the future. Hi, 2021. but they were like, oh yeah, it's a 3 to 6 month wait. And then obviously they went, don't worry, it's only 6 months, you're really young. And I was like, I'm not that young, I'm aging rapidly. but I basically just made friends with every single consultant secretary, like had nice chats with them, like made them feel like what they were doing was really great. The admissions officer at my hospital, like, literally must have felt like the best person alive. I was like, you are such a hero. And she sorted me right out, and it was great. Like,
that's it. And it's trying not to project your anger at the situation onto whatever is happening on the other side of that phone, because it's often not that person's fault. It's maybe not anybody's fault. And actually what it came down to in my situation when my appointments kept getting cancelled was that there was a nurse in that clinic who was on long-term sickness, whatever. So they were like down a mega staff member, and that was trickling through, and it was like me and four other patients or whatever that were just kept getting deferred. So once I understood what had happened, that made it a lot easier for me. So now whenever that happens, I always try and think, well, okay, that's my thing that I'm getting really, really stressed out, and it's not necessarily the person on the end of the phone's fault, because it actually doesn't really help the communication if you're just screaming down the phone at people, which I have done. So
and then we all have.
Some of the communications I've had with King's Fertility, someone wrote to me and they were like, best wishes, Gabby. And I was like, there's another Gabby. So I wrote back and I was like, oh, always nice to meet another Gabby. Smiley face. And I got no response.
That is disappointing, isn't it?
She didn't enjoy my reaching out to a fellow Gabby.
That's really
But I'll
sad.
Break her down. If I end up going back, I'll break her down.
Gabby at King's Fertility, reach out to us.
I'm we lovely, want to talk. Honestly.
Right. Should we talk about your campaign then?
Yeah, let's talk about this. That's really exciting. So this is really the first time I've really spoken about this.
We are honoured.
I asked my followers on Instagram to tell me what the worst thing or the most upsetting comment someone had said to them was while they've been trying to conceive. And I was really, really just blown away by the amount of response I got in such a short space of time as well. So many comments, so many messages. And what really kind of shocked me was the percentage of those comments that came from doctors and nurses and receptionists in fertility clinics and people working on the front line and dealing with patients going through this stuff every single day. So anything from, you know, any sort of infertility journey to miscarriage to baby loss, people saying things which are really, really upsetting. And as far as I am concerned, when it comes to friends and family saying the wrong thing, I really do understand that, and I really do understand that it can be really difficult to know what to say and how to support people. And I really don't want this campaign to be a divisive thing. I really want it to be a way to raise the communication levels and get people talking. And
I think once you explain to people, or once they understand that what the cliches that they keep saying to you are really unhelpful, I think that they kind of, hopefully they realize, and it's not, you're not being rude or mean about them, and you know that everyone, not most people that say these things care about you, but I think it's just an education piece, isn't it?
I was really trying to find what to call this thing. Mm. And I've gone with what not to say, because I think it's the most important thing is to check yourself. Mm. Am I saying something which is going to upset this person, or am I saying something that's helpful? And it's really quite simple. It's really quite straightforward. And if anyone is going through a life experience that you don't have any understanding of, then don't try and offer advice. Just be there. Just be there. But what's really important is that we get this message out to the people who are in that healthcare arena.
Yeah.
And that includes consultants, it includes nurses, midwives, it includes pharmacists, actually. I had a message from someone who lost her baby at 30 weeks and had to have a horrible confrontation with a pharmacist who was trying to tell her that she wasn't allowed to use her maternity exemption certificate. And this kind of stuff just shouldn't happen, you know, and it's sort of... the receptionist ringing to check in because someone's 17 weeks pregnant, but actually she had a miscarriage at 10 weeks.
Oh,
and that is on the notes. It should not happen.
Yeah, no.
So there should be these infallible protocols that are out there which mean that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. And there should be education so that consultants don't say things like, well, you must have expected this because it's your fourth miscarriage, but you seem very traumatized this time. This is the kind of level of comments that people have sent in to me, and I just think it's not good enough. I really think that something needs to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel really, really like I can feel myself getting all like passionate about it now as I'm talking.
Wild up.
So that's the campaign, What Not to Say. And it's
so how can we
awareness.
Get involved?
So you can get involved by sharing the article, which will be on my blog.
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be an Instagram selfie thing that you can do.
We're good at those.
Which will be a selfie with a hand over your mouth.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's
good.
A kind of like so easy for everyone to do. Just to... check before you say something.
Yeah.
Is that helpful or is it going to upset that person? And there is also on my website, I've collated as many of the comments as I can. So you can actually go on there. You can share it. You can show it to people. Mm. It's separated into categories, miscarriage and baby loss, IVF, sayings not to say. And it's a long old list, but that's kind of the point, is that every single one of those comments in that list was made to somebody, and that person felt hurt by that comment and hurt so much that they needed to share it with me. And I assume in the hope that if I shared it, something might be able to change at some point down the road. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, definitely get involved because it sounds really important.
Absolutely.
Like even the people in my clinic, and again, they are great. Individually, I love talking to them. They're nice. They're reassuring. But they do just come out with these same things. And like not just my clinic, but, you know, I've been referred to through two different hospitals plus my GP surgery so far. And they'll just say, you're so young. When I had my hysteroscopy and laparoscopy, my second one in March, they were trying to save my other fallopian tube, my second fallopian tube. And I'd said to them before, please try and save it because, you know, IVF's so hard and I just really would like the option of conceiving naturally. And at the hospital I was at, I woke up from my anaesthetic and they want you out of that bed within, it feels like about 15 minutes after you wake up anyway. And they put you on this armchair, which is, I mean, bearing in mind you're bleeding out of the vagina, it's lilac.
Why?
Not much thought has gone into that. But then, so I'm super groggy from this anaesthetic, like can barely keep my eyes open, can't really move my body properly. And the really young doctor who I'd spoken to before, the operation, comes over to me and goes, Emma, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm groggy. And he goes, okay, well, we couldn't save your other tube, so hope you feel better. See you later. And I was like, what? And then, like, as I was coming around, I was like,
wait one second.
Screw that guy. And then, like, as I came around about an hour later, you know, I'm still sitting in the lilac sofa, bleeding furiously. And... he walks past and I go, excuse me. And he comes over and he's like, hi. And I'm like,
I'm not in my best emotional place because I'm not wearing any makeup and I'm bleeding and I don't feel great. And I haven't had a drink for like 10 hours or something. And I just go, if you're telling a woman she's barren, do not just then walk off and maybe wait for her to wake up. And he's like, he must be in his like mid to late 20s. And he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. And I was like, yes, goodbye.
Thank you, oh Emma.
God. Good
potentially
for you.
Potentially saves a lot of other women from the same thing.
Good for you for
like
saying
a strong,
that.
Independent woman.
Yeah. Yes. God, that's horrendous. That is absolutely horrendous.
The worst.
But it's things like that, that there just doesn't seem to be any joined up thinking. It's like things are being said without yeah. any thought about how that is going to affect the person that they're talking to. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of mind-blowing. It's like,
madness.
Where is the empathy? It's really, really important to change it.
Okay. Well, Alice, thank you so much for
yes,
coming in.
Yes, thank you.
It's been
thank
such
you
a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's lovely to meet you in real world.
Now it's time for Old Wives' Tales, Fact or Fiction.
Yay! So, yes, as always, I've spoken to Professor Tim Child, who is Medical Director at Oxford Fertility. And this time we chose to ask him about wearing socks during the 2-week wait.
I think it's probably one of the sillier old wives' tales.
Do you think?
Not? I don't know. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm a huge sock fan. I like having warm feet.
Yeah.
I wear slippers all the time when I'm at home. Uh-huh. I live in a carpeted flat.
Yes.
I can't bear cold feet. Something right. I get from my mum.
So you'd be into this then, Emma. Surely you're rushing to buy socks for your 2-week wait.
I mean, obviously I will be wearing socks during my 2-week wait if that ever happens. But I just think there can't possibly be a reason. Like, I don't know where this comes from, basically.
So you won't be wearing them to improve your chances of a successful transfer?
No, I'll just be wearing them so that I'm comfortable.
You'll be wearing them for practical reasons?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't really know what to say.
You do see lots. It's a big thing on Instagram.
It is.
People like to buy pineapple socks,
they
it
do.
Seems. I mean, there is something joyous about a new pair of socks, I have to say.
You're absolutely right.
And if during this emotional time you can extract some joy from opening a new packet of socks and popping them on, then I suppose, you know, more power to you.
Yeah.
Get your socks on. Get your socks on and your rocks off.
Absolutely.
But I asked Professor Tim whether there was any medical reason why wearing socks during the 2-week wait would increase your chances of a successful transfer.
Not that I'm aware of. So I certainly can't think of any medical reason why having warmer socked feet would affect the chance of an embryo implanting at all. So, I'd say overall, I don't think it's going to make any difference.
Okay, so there's no significance in trying to keep your body temperature at a certain rate or anything like that?
No, I mean, again, wearing socks compared to not wearing socks isn't going to affect the core body temperature. It won't change the temperature in the uterus or the pelvis at all. It would just make no difference to the temperature in the abdomen or the pelvis at all.
Okay, thanks, Professor Tim. That's really helpful. Speak to you soon.
That is our show.
Yeah, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for tuning in as always.
Yeah.
And we look forward to hearing from you soon.
Yeah.
When you get in touch. Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, for another episode of Big Fat Negative.
Hey. But more tanned this time.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.